I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's Tuesday. It's John and Wade Show Tuesday. This one's going to be, it's going to get a little weird. It's going to get a little fun. It's going to be a little competitive, perhaps, but we'll see. Wade, how are you? I could not be happier to be with you today. How's life, my friend?
Life's good. Thanksgiving is underway, on the way. Excited about that. Just excited to spend time with the family for the holidays, man. Another Thanksgiving in the books, and I wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving. And we're here. We're talking 49er football, good or bad or ugly. We're bringing you that. We're bringing you the show. That's the only thing that matters.
That's what it is. Now, for our audio listeners, shout out to Bro Montana. He says John Chapman video cover 100%. I appreciate that. I did the This Is Fine, you know, the dog drinking the coffee and it's like fire all around.
Yeah.
And so the title is The 49ers Are Fine, which is kind of misleading if you're just seeing the audio. So we're going to talk a little bit about issues. We're going to talk about Kyle Shanahan. We're going to talk about Dre Greenlaw. We're going to talk about just the biggest issues of this team, bounce around that a little bit, because I got a lot of fun emails, Wayne, that I was like, you know what? Like, I have my opinion on these things, but sometimes you just gotta, you gotta ask a question, you gotta sit back, you gotta listen to Wade, and you gotta just kind of let it, you know, just let it happen. So here we go. Let's start with Dre Greenlaw, a positive. They have activated his practice window. I doubt that he plays this week. They're going to use the practice window on him. 21 days, so you got 3 weeks. with the defense being so bad compared to what we're used to, and personnel is such a big deal. This question comes from Thomas L. He emailed me this. He says, you know, after watching the defense play so undisciplined, uninspired, like you're just not seeing a lot of heart, energy, physicality, did we not value Dre Greenlaw at what he should have been valued at? Is he one of, should he be on that kind of Bosa, Demo, Warner kind of like importance level or no?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because every time we're missing a piece, it's like that's always the piece we're missing, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I look at Dre Greenlaw, I think he's been devalued by the Niners. And luckily, he signed what he signed to play for the Niners. It's just unfortunate, man, that the dude, you know, gets injured. And now we're seeing with a new defensive coordinator not having your linebacking core, which might have been the strength of your defense always. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? Bosa might be the anchor, but the strength of the defense has always been the linebacking core because of their ability to cover, move sideline to sideline, tackle. And so you ask yourself this year, what are some of the 49ers' biggest flaws? And number one on the defensive side is not run defense. It's the simple fact that they don't have the fundamental of tackling. And every game we've watched this year, there's almost been double-digit missed tackles in just about every game. And if not double-digit missed tackles, high singles, 9, 8. Like, that's still a lot. And so who's a sure tackler on this team that usually gets you about 7 to 11 tackles per game? Dre Greenlaw. So it's probably fair to say that him not being here is definitely hurting the 49ers defense just on a fundamental side, right? Like, the Niners are bad this year in fundamentals. Like, it's so weird. And I don't understand how we took steps backwards and not being able to just do the fundamental sound things. Tackle, you know, not line up off sides, not jump off sides, you know, little things like that. Defensive holdings and pass interference, man, that's going to happen. But the little ones, the ones you can help, this team is just not very disciplined, and that's where it starts on the coach, right? But what if these players just aren't good enough to be that? I don't know. But we're missing Dre Greenlaw. The good news is the practice window opens, like you said. Do we want him to come back? Do we want to rush that back? Is he going to be back to Dre Greenlaw? We see in CMC, he's taking a minute to get back to himself. Will Dre Greenlaw need 7 weeks to get back into football shape as well? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure how much he would help, but, you know, putting him out on the football field definitely will help, at least with the fundamentals.
Yeah. You know, like, we're getting so many comments. David, you know, Dre Greenlaw was the enforcer. Rusty, shout out my man Rusty. He was the man. Shut down Kelsey. Kelsey was fighting his head coach on the sideline with nothing going on in the Super Bowl until he got out there. But Raphael, he says, man, Greenlaw should just sit out. Him coming in late this season, the way we're playing, isn't going to make an impact. But here's the thing. This is Dre Greenlaw's last year. So if you just sit Dre Greenlaw out, he's a free agent. If he doesn't play, he's no longer a 49er.
That's true.
From the 49er standpoint, you have to see, can he get back to what he was? And if he is, he's your number one priority to re-sign this offseason with all the free agents. If he can't, then you got to let him walk. That's just the cold reality of football. He's my favorite player on the team. I think that he's huge. But if you just let him sit out, you're letting him sit out for somebody else. Dre Greenlaw wants to play football. That dude is a gladiator. He is a warrior. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not – players aren't just like, you know what, I want to play it safe. I want to play it cautious. That's not what it is. And I think Dre Greenlaw is – part of that elite group where I think that he should be in that kind of top priority of Warner, Bosa, Demo, Greenlaw. I think those are your four best defensive players. I really, really do. And getting him back, even if he is 80%, even if he is kind of that Christian McCaffrey, you're getting that back, like the Christian McCaffrey version of last year. It's not 100%, but it still makes a difference. One, Devondre Campbell's so bad. This team has no faith in D Winters, no matter how good he plays. You're hoping the team will give them the, how do I say this? playing your favorites. That's what the 49ers have turned into, where they're not playing the best players anymore. They're just playing their favorites. And so I feel like if they treat him that way, he's going to be way better than a Devondre Campbell, even at 80%, even at 85%. And I think that's huge. You look at the tackling, Wayne. We are the 31st rated tackling team in the NFL. There's only 32. There's only 32. Now, my question to you is, we're talking about all these penalties. We're talking about not tackling. We're talking about fundamentals. How much of that is on the coaching staff versus how much of that is on the players?
I don't know what they teach in practice, bro. Like, so part of it has to be on the coaching staff. I mean, never mind going over plays. Just put a bunch of players out there, let them run around, and let them find the guys to tackle. It's not like they know the play. I tell you what, they were in position against Josh Jacobs. They just didn't tackle him. They knew the play. They stopped him. They had a 2-yard stop, and it ended up in a 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 37-yard gain. I can't figure it out. Like, I don't understand. So, like, it's got to be part on the coaching as far as saying, guys, like, we got to wrap and tackle. Like, bump everything else. Let's just get in practice. However we got to practice, shoulder pads, helmets, whatever. I want to see wrapping. I want to see tackling. That's mentality. That's coaching. Now, the players still do have to go out there and execute it, because practice tackling is totally different than live game tackling, and you're playing against opposing team who doesn't want to be tackled. So it's going to be different. But I'm just seeing lack of fundamentals, bro. Like, I don't know who else to blame. The players definitely got to take their part, but what part of the team, as far as coaching, are they enforcing missed tackles? You heard Nick Sorensen talked about it at the presser, but for some reason, I didn't even believe the stuff that was coming out of his mouth. Like, I'm sure the players don't.
Nah, dude, that dude, every time our defensive coordinator, Pet Rock, talks with no personality, it's just like, dude, will you stop? Like, I'm to the point where I've watched every presser for 8 years. I'm fast forwarding that dude. I don't care what he says. It doesn't matter. It doesn't resonate. But, like, here's the deal. Like, okay, a lot of people are like, bring Saleh back, bring Saleh back, bring Saleh back. You look at the Jets. Before he got fired, the Jets were one of the worst tackling teams. Their defense was whatever. Robert Saleh comes out at a press conference. I know everybody's Niner-centric, and I don't know if y'all saw this. He comes out, he's like, we're going to focus on tackling and practice. Sauce Gardner goes, nah, man, we vets. We know how to tackle. We know this, our business. Robert Saleh gets fired a week later for one of a myriad of reasons. But, like, literally, Sauce Gardner's like, nah, we ain't doing that. Like, he said that publicly. So, like, if we're trying to bring back Robert Saleh, which I'm not for personally, I'd rather have Jeff Ulbrich, but the Jets aren't tackling well. I don't know what the issue is. And everybody keeps saying the comment, well, 12 men on the field back-to-back, that's on the coaching staff. That is factual. That is a coaching issue for sure. So I don't know. It's both and. It's the chicken before the egg. But, man, at some point,
I'm frustrated with the team on lack of fundamentals at this point. It's like because of the fundamentals, this team does not look like the team that we know. And it makes sense why everybody's frustrated. It's not about just dropping a pass. That's one thing. It's about, you know, lining up in the wrong position on the offense, not sustaining a block to open up for the running backs to get through, not hitting a hole properly. Not like these are all executed type of plays that fundamentally just aren't looking good for the San Francisco 49ers. So when you look at Christian McCaffrey, a lot of people want him out of the game. I don't want him out of the game. I just want more reps for the guy that is more explosive at this point, Jordan Mason. And so if you mix up the explosiveness with Christian McCaffrey coming along, you know, with his reps, it'll open up the offense so much more. But for some reason, you said Kyle plays his favorites. And so it is what it is at this point. But fundamentals, this team is not it.
No.
And the veterans are messing up.
Special teams. Yeah. Well said, man. Right here, Steve-O says, I don't believe they're playing the favorites, the coach's favorites, not our favorites. I mean, they just stick with bad players. Like, why is number 64 Jake Brindle never allowing somebody else to come take a snap? That is Chris Forster's homeboy. He's been with them for 10 years. That is Kyle Shanahan's homeboy. Like, that's all that. Why is DFF playing you know, as much as he's played, even on special teams, he might have had one of his best games before he got hurt. But like no, there's why is Devondre Campbell playing? Why is Jordan Elliott getting so many snaps? Like, these are the guys that Kyle Shanahan said he was his best run defender. Like, that was, I laughed out loud.
He said that in the presser, bro.
I know. I was like, no, Kyle Shanahan's not watching defensive tape, period.
No, he's not watching defensive tape, or he's not focusing on the defense, period.
That dude gets turned around backwards 6-7 times a game against a block.
Well, even in this game, before the injury, before the concussion, right, he wasn't good. No, I watched him get terrible. Turned. You're talking about the play in this game. He got turned around. Yeah,
it's hard to tackle somebody with your back towards him.
I don't think Kyle pays any attention to the defense. No. I really don't.
No, and I think this goes with it. JC, shout out for the ski and AVI. It's almost time. He says this falls on Kyle Shanahan. He wanted an easy, quick hire for defensive coordinator. Sorensen might have some coaching experience, but definitely lacks the ability to coach players to their potential, and it shows. Yes, now. Coming off the Super Bowl loss, all 32 teams had their DC filled. So, like, you can't steal a DC, even though he tried. He went after Spagnuolo, talked to Belichick, talked to Jeff Ulbrich, who that's who I want as our DC moving forward. But, like, yeah, it sucked. You should have kept Wilkes. You should have just stayed with Wilkes. And, man, Wilkes is – I don't think anybody in their entire life would say – Nick Sorensen's better than Wilkes at this point. Like, you've seen enough to know.
Yeah, you
Sorensen
can't.
Ain't it?
As much as you disliked Wilkes and him giving up explosive plays, the defense was more relevant last season with almost the same identical pieces, minus what Eric Armstead and a couple of other guys.
This last game was kind of an anomaly, but still, it's been all year. We're dead last. I mean, we have so many. We're 29th in red zone percentage. We're 29th in fourth quarter scoring. We're terrible. We're so bad. We're 31st in tackling. Nah, man, it ain't just the players. It ain't just the players.
Thank you, No, the Casio G-Shock. Thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff. And there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and Kobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100. With its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And it's not just the players. It's definitely the coaching has to take their responsibilities in this whole situation. They're not prepared. And I don't think that, and it could be why the players are unprepared. I mean, you heard John Lynch talk about today on 95.7 The Game, if I'm not mistaken, or KNBR. I get those two mixed up all the time. You heard him talk about how they were prepared, like, and stuff just went the wrong way. Everything went south. And when you look at this game, everything did go south. Everything went south. Defense couldn't stop a nosebleed on the first drive. They literally rushed for over 70 yards on the first drive. Literally. Like, I've never seen that before in my life. Not by this defense. I don't know if the defense had, like, illnesses, headaches, brain farts, or whatever, but they couldn't tackle on that first drive. Then you have 15 break missed tackles on the first drive or something like that, right?
That's bad.
And so, like, from that standpoint, I'm like, okay, so the defense gave up the touchdown. Now the offense needs to come out and respond. Then the offense comes out, and they get the first play is 9 yards. You're like, oh, snap. Maybe Brandon Allen might work. Finger broken all or whatever. And then the next play, unfortunately, it's a false start by Dominic Pooney. He goes from 2nd-and-1 to 2nd-and-6. Then the next play, we rush for 1 yard because the line just allowed – they were just in the backfield by the time Christian McCaffrey got the ball. Then on the third play, it's a sack. And it's just like, damn. So you chalk that up, right? You chalk those things up, right? And you get the ball back. Defense holds them to 3 this time. Offense gets the ball back again. You got a punt. And so, like, this team fundamentally – when you look at the penalties, when you look at the just the mistakes, we're not even just talking about, like, the mistakes, John. Like, it's making our team worse than what we know that they are. It's almost making our team unrecognizable at this point. But it's so crazy because I still have faith in this team that they'll find a way to come together, like the Beatles say, and get it right.
That's right. Come together right now, baby. Let's go. Now, Alejandro, he says, is it possible something in the CMC contract has a plane over Mason or something like, I don't think so. And again, whenever you see Devondre Campbell playing over D Winners, when you see Jake Brendel playing over anybody, when you see Aaron Banks playing over Spencer Burford stepped in was better. You had Ben Bart stepped in, played better, but like they just stick with this continuity. It's so important for Shanahan and his coaches, even whenever it's a cancer, even when it's wrong. And again, we're not saying CMC should play less. Find a way, instead of having Eric Saubert on the field, he's gotten over 100 snaps the last two games. That's ridiculous. Eric Saubert, all he does is have negative aura on special teams, run plays, pass plays, just mistakes all the time. But Shanahan's like, well, we got to have two tight ends. Why? 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 Why not two running backs? Why? Like, I don't know. So I don't think it's a contract thing. I just think it's yeah, right here.
I mean, part of the way
players get rid of a coach. No, you saw that with Steve Wilks. You saw Fred Warner and you saw Nick Bosa come out publicly and basically undercut that man at every turn from the midway point through the playoffs. And they got what they wanted. They got what they wanted. And I love Fred Warner. And Nick Bosa is a player, but like, hey, man, you guys get what you get. Don't throw a fit. You get what you get. Here we go. Look at this. Brendel has had several tackles by falling on Niners players. Yeah, he had 3 this past game. Like, our starting center had 3 tackles. 3.
How do you run the ball when your center literally is tackling you? Like, I understand that Christian McCaffrey isn't the McCaffrey of 2023. We all can agree. We understand why, right? But how does he get going if the line, it's not all on him and his vision. It's not all on him missing cuts. Now, I do fault Christian McCaffrey for fumbling that ball. That's 1,000% on him. Number one job you do with the ball is you protect it. Same thing with Jordan Mason. He got the ball at the end. He had 16 yards, finished the game with 8 yards because of the fumble at the end. The running backs are fumbling the ball, but it partly is because there's 9 people on him. Like, they're trying to hold on to the ball. You got 7 other people punching it out, right? And so, like, I don't know, man. This team just looks.
It's fine. It's fine.
They just look defeated, bro. Like, yeah. they step on the field, I'm amped, right? Then they get out on the field, and then the energy is just like mid to low. Mid to low. It's never mid to high. It's never high, high. It's like mid to low. Even in the wins this year. Our best game was what? Week one?
The Jets? Ugh.
Right, but that was our best game.
That one, maybe the Patriots. We beat the Jets by 13. We beat the Patriots by 17.
I still like the way we played
the
Jets.
I think the best game was the Seattle game. We won by 12.
Okay.
At Seattle, game.
I always thought we were going to beat Seattle. The Jets had the question mark because they came in week one, quarterback fresh. Nobody was injured. Like, and they had Breece Hall, premier guy. We really put it to him. I didn't think we struggled at all. And Jordan Mason ran for 1,465 yards in that one game, right? And then after that, everything just was kind of like blah for me.
I like this comment from Chad. And, you know, I had to dig back through. I've been looking through the archive of videos. I just got it loaded. Chad says this. I brought this up before, but Collinsworth said in meetings, the defensive philosophy is to go for the big hit and not wrap up.
Yeah.
It's time to change that philosophy. So I went back. This is an old video. Let me see how old this was, because I want to put, we did this video. Oh, you don't have a date on it? Come on, bro.
I don't know, but I've been screaming, stop the hit stick and wrap and tackle all season. Like, yep. Stop. Like, the only person that I know, and even Dre Greenlaw could be faulted for this at times, too. There's times he'll go for a big hit, and it just doesn't get the guy all the way down. But they have to get back to swarming to the football and everybody being in there on that tackle, right? Because that's what happened. We were playing that way, though. We weren't always hit-sticking. Fred Warner was leading the league in forced fumbles at one point this year.
Well, I think that's where the hit stick comes in. So here's the clip. This is a 30-second clip about Nick Sorensen on his philosophy of tackling.
How violent you finish and how well you tackle. I think that's the most important thing. If they're going to check it down, are they checking it down in 5? So what's happening after that? Is he getting hit? Are we punching it out? Are we hitting him with, you know, 2-3 guys on a compression tackle? What's the stack monster? How are our D-line coming out? Are they hitting him too? So what do those look like when they're throwing it is what matters. You know, whether it's an RPO or perimeter screen, you know, if they're going to catch it at 5 and get 8 or 9, that's not good.
So I think what defensive coordinator Pet Rock's trying to say there, he's made it so complicated. That dude's got no personality whatsoever, man. Like, I'm sorry. I've been a part of coaching teams with, like, good coaches where it's just like, you talk to players and they're zoning out after 5 seconds because you're just a freaking blank sheet of white paper. Like, you got nothing. There's no personality. There's no color to you at all. Like, and he's a player, but it's just like, man, when he talks, Bueller.
Yeah.
Bueller. Like, it sucks. Now, I don't, you're making it too complex. You're making it too complex. And you force players to think they slow down. They slow down. You wrap up. You tackle. You tackle with what you see. You hit what you see. You grab cloth. You drive through. You bring your legs. We don't do those things. There's a few. Malik does that.
He goes for big hits, too.
He does. But he runs through. He doesn't arm tackle big hits.
Yes.
If you see what him and Demo, which Demo's had some problems lately, but if you see what you hit and you put your face mask on a player, you're going to be all right. Jair Brown refuses refuses to use his helmet in any way, shape, or form. He will always dive behind the player and try to wrap up. It's just what he does. And there's a reason why he has so many damn missed tackles. There was one, I don't know if you saw the play where he dove and just didn't even touch the guy.
Didn't touch, bro. I
didn't even touch him. He has to dive behind. It's just what he does.
It's fundamentals and stuff. And that's why I say it's partly on the coach, because let's say you just said, I did that, right? Then you're my coach. Well, your job is to come to me and say, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Do it this way. Do it this way. Don't even tell me to try. Give me the solution so that I can be better. Let me practice on what you're telling me to do.
I think you're right, but like, you look at our 11 players, everybody tackles different. There's no uniform. Like,
well, it just needs to be rapid tackle. Like, rapid tackle. That's as simple as it could get. That's KISS.
We don't do that.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Like,
we don't do that. We don't do that. What was the first thing that you taught? Like, you get it, as a coach, as a player, head up, see
head up,
you hit, get your head across.
That's it.
We don't do that. We dive behind. And I know that's the new NFL and concussions, and that's, I understand they're changing the technique, but like, come on, man. This tackling while falling away and trying to grab something, it just ain't it, man. Yeah, right here, this is something I'm ready for. Put Gippin for Tig. I wouldn't mind some rotation. I want Jair Brown to come out of this slump.
I said this the moment I wanted him back on this team.
And you're a Jair Brown guy.
I'm a Jair Brown guy, but I also say Jair belongs in the box, and people don't want to listen to that part. Like, that you got two box safeties on this team. I like what we're getting from Malik, but he still struggles in coverage. I don't give what you say. But three, and one is on the IR. He got three of the same type of safeties. One is just a sure type of a finisher. You know what I'm saying? I love Jair Brown. But as far as playing safety, it's so many mental assignments that you have to play in your role. It's not cover one, you got one assignment. Cover two, a different assignment. Cover three, a different assignment. Are you covering? Like, it's just so many. And I just think he's struggling with it. And then when you tell him to line up around the box and make sure you're tackling and this, he just lost in the sauce at this point, which is fair. He's a second year player. Like I get it. That's why he needed the vet. And if he's up to par, because now he's been in camp for at least 2 weeks. He's been on the team for 2 weeks. You made him active last week. I think it's time to make a switch. If you're really trying to contest and get into this to these playoffs, you know, and that's my issue with Kyle. I don't know what Kyle's vision is anymore.
Well, we used to rotate players. Like, I would be cool with that. I'm not saying bench him completely. Let's see. Give him a drive a quarter. That's what I want. Like, let's see how bad the backup center is. We've never seen it. Let's see what it looks like with Jordan Mason getting 10 snaps a game with Christian McCaffrey. We've never seen it. Let's see what happens if Jair Brown sits out a series and Tayshaun Gibson goes. Why not? Why not try something? Why not let D-Winners try linebacker?
Can I ask a question, though, John? Is Kyle responsible, though, for the defensive subs, or is that on Nick Sorensen?
So here's, and again, I've been on teams as a DC, as a head coach, and the head coach gets final say. I mean, Nick Sorensen's a yes man. Let's be very honest. So is Captain America and our GM. If Kyle says, hey, let's play D winners,
he's going to
they got to play him. He does the draft picks, he does the contracts, he does the trades, who not to trade, running upstairs saying, no, don't trade BA. I wish he was slower. Whatever Kyle says goes. So everything has to stop with him. But we know Kyle Shanahan doesn't watch all the defensive tape because he just said Jordan Elliott's good against the run, which is factually incorrect. He's not our best run defender. He's not even close. He's not even the top three at the defensive tackle spot. He's not even close. So, yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating
It's frustrating because a year ago, we didn't look like this.
No, we didn't.
And so now you got to go back and say, okay, well, what did we look like a year ago? Right? What's different? Coordinator number one defensively. And I know we're not talking about Kyle Shanahan, but that's coming. I guarantee you, because the offense looks different too. But defensively, which would help keep us in games, most of the games, keep the score low. For some reason, this defense is just not it. And you got new pieces up front. And I know a lot of people don't like the Hargrave, but maybe that injury is bigger than what we thought. Maybe it's more catastrophic than what we thought. Regardless
of how he sucked
or not, we ain't looked this bad with him on this defense. Just saying.
Yeah, we did. He had the worst playoff games in the history of any 49ers
I'm just talking about at this point in the regular season. Yes, the whole team I thought was bad in the playoffs. Like they had to scrap and find ways to win. But the defense itself was definitely a shell of itself once the playoffs came up. But I'm just saying, up until this point, I didn't think Hargrave was as bad. I don't know if he was dealing with some type of an injury or if they were doing certain things to him. But my point is he's a piece that's missing. Dre Greenlaw, piece that's missing. Like, and these are big pieces. We were able to be great with Tig and Gip. Now it's Tig and Malik. It's different. I know you brought back Gip, but we don't know what Gip's going to be like. And we all thought even last year he was slowing down just a tad bit. So the Niners, and then there's no Ward. Ward hasn't been out on a football field for the past several weeks.
He's going to play now if Renardo Green's missing time. He's got to. He's got to play.
You're paying that dude
$13.5 million. You got to see it. You got to play some. I know he's been bad all year and the personal issues. I get that. I have no qualms with the times missed, but he's been back now. He needs to play now. Like you don't have the luxury of sitting Charvarius Ward another week. You're playing Brandon Allen. He's going to chunk it deep.
Yeah, Allen's going to get the green light too if Brock can't go.
Yeah. JC, I'm curious what you think about this one, because this is one that we don't know.
This could be new too. I'm telling you, this is a new addition. And JC, I don't know what the heck Brandon Staley does anymore.
Nobody does. The only thing that we know for sure is he runs the turnover circuit drill, which we're top 10 in. One of the few things this defense, that's the only thing that
we're still
we
top
know.
10 in turnovers?
We're eighth.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. That's amazing for us.
We went from one to eighth, though. That's a big drop.
Still drop, but whatever, you drop from first to 20th in points. From first to 29th in fourth quarter. You drop from
I've been zipped my lips. You could have stopped. I'm going to accept one to eight.
here's what JC says. This also falls on Brandon Staley. I get a lot of Staley hate messages. It's well known the struggles were attributed to scheme adjustment. Sorensen doesn't have a good person to fall back. We don't know how much Brandon Staley's input matters or doesn't. We don't know. I can say for being out at training camp, Brandon Staley's out there coaching his ass off with corners and safeties, and you see Nick Sorensen chewing gum, playing with his hair off on the side by himself consistently. Like Steve Wilks last year, before training camp every day, Steve Wilks was out there with the corners and safeties one-on-one drills. This year, it's been Brandon Staley. You don't see Nick Sorensen out till late. You see Daniel Bullocks. You see Brandon Staley. You see KJ Wright, the second linebacker coach. You see those guys are out early working one-on-ones. You don't see camouflage freaking Pet Rock defensive coordinator out till late. And whenever he shows up, you don't even recognize him because he doesn't talk to anybody. He just stands off to the side with his call sheet. That's just who he is. That's who he was. I was at every single training camp practice, and it was hard to find this man. I'm just going to be honest.
Different. That's part of the difference. Like the 49ers have a bunch of differences, and it's taking way too long of time for them to hash out the differences. Remember even last year, because we had new coaches with new roles, it took a minute for them to kind of like get in sync. And I think that's part of what's going on from the coaching perspective. I still can't tell you why the players aren't executing, other than, you know, they took a step backwards or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. The second part of the show, we've got some other things. We're going to talk about some adjustments that have been made, that haven't been made. We're going to get to a little bit of Shanahan talk, which I know that's kind of where everybody wants to go. But it's Thanksgiving. Who doesn't like a free NFL bet?
Now here's the game plan. This Thanksgiving, load up your plate, grab your phone, and lock in your picks. MyBookie's giving you a risk-free football bet, plus a shot at a growing prize pool. And if you're new to the family, they'll double your initial deposit with our promo code 49ERS. So here's the thing, how it works. Devin Achane, if he scores the first touchdown in the Dolphins versus Packers game, you get paid big. If he doesn't, MyBookie's got your back with a full refund. I call that a no-lose bet. Also, starting Monday, MyBookie's Telegram prize pool contest kicks off. The pool starts at $15,000 and grows by an additional $5,000 every time they get a new 1,000 new subscribers. All you have to do is join the Telegram channel by December 1st to lock in your share. Now, here's the good news. If you're already subscribed, you're automatically in. The more subscribers, the bigger the winnings. So spread the word and tell them use code 49ERS for a no-risk bet on Devin Achane to score the first touchdown. Double your initial deposit. Enter into the giant prize pool contest that kicks off on the 1st. So check that out. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
All right, shout out to Knees. Appreciate the super chat. Did we even make any adjustments out of the bye? Yeah, you started to disguise coverage a little bit. There was a little bit of, okay, I don't even want to call it simulated pressure, but he would show cover one man and drop to Tampa two. He did that like two times a game. Yeah. Did that, yeah, did a couple times. Like, it's still minimal. We still run the most vanilla, bland defense ever, the most complicated tackling structure and how we tackle out all those. But our scheme is simple, still busted coverage multiple times. But there were adjustments that were made defensively. None made special teams. Offensively, you got Christian McCaffrey back. Everything else stayed the same. You know, my biggest problem with Shanahan on this recent game, I'm not a fire Shanahan guy. I don't think I'm ever going to be. But in the third quarter, you have five successful rush attempts. CMC, run. You had the 16-yard run by Jordan Mason. Five consecutive run plays, all positive yards. The next play, you motion to an empty set with Jordan Mason in the backfield. Doesn't go well. You wrote four consecutive pass plays, and you go empty backfield on 4th and 2. And it's just like, why? You marched all the way down the field just running the ball. All the way down the field running the ball, Kyle. And then pass. 4 and out.
That 4th and 2 play, the Christian McCaffrey, you didn't like the call.
I hated the call. I absolutely hated the call. One, Christian McCaffrey ran the worst route he's ever run in his entire life. Two, they put their best defender on him, and that was our one true read. And so, like, no, I did. You need the illusion of running the ball.
I hate emptying the backfield. Period. So, like, the empty sets, just period. Like, empty sets is already letting the defense know that you're going to throw the ball. But when you're talking about like a 4th down or a 4th and short, like, they're gonna just play pass. There's no illusion unless it's a quarterback drop back and then you run up the middle like we saw some other quarterbacks do from other teams,
right?
And you get the first down. I don't know, man. I guess Brandon Allen was doing what he was asked to do on that. CMC ran the route. McKinney was there, but McKinney had him covered. I don't care how good he ran the route, he wasn't going to be open.
Yeah, it was terrible. And it was a bad pass. It was bad location. Like, it was just bad. It was just a bad play call. Yeah. It was bad read. Agreed. It was a bad route. It was a bad pass.
Agreed. Agreed 1,000%.
Yeah, Big Toe, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the super chat. He says, no Ricky Pearsall after two impressive games back-to-back. Two targets in the past two games combined. Zero catches. Refuse to believe he's trash suddenly. No, he's been open. He's been open. And part of the reason why you go with Brandon Allen over Josh Dobbs is, one, he throws the deep ball way better than this game, threw the deep ball behind Chris Conley. Freaking, that was horrible, but he was getting hit because Aaron Banks whiffed. Yeah, I don't understand why you spent a first-round pick on a wide receiver that you're not going to use. Help it make sense, Wayne. Help it make sense.
For those watching the show, we can't help anything make sense because it doesn't make sense. And so even the sense that we try to make making the sense won't make sense because Kyle Shanahan won't allow it to make sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when you're talking about these guys that you have and they're not utilized, my issue is Kyle. You know what my issue with Kyle Shanahan is? It's just him not using his whole kit and caboodle. I can't think of any other word, but you got an arsenal. We talk about these arsenals, right? Kyle Shanahan is probably loaded. And I don't give two we shouldn't care about the league catching up on Ricky Pearsall in 2025 when we're struggling in 2024. Right. Kyle has to stop holding these players back, and he has to start using players, period. I don't care who it is. He has to start using players. Until he does that, until he feels that that's what he has to do, unfortunately, guys, we're going to be talking about the same stuff different day. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. And, like, here my issue is Ricky Pearsall played 33 snaps out of 49. So, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but he's not targeted, though.
He's not targeted. And there were two third-down pass plays where Ronnie Bell was out there. Ronnie Bell only played 5 snaps. But why is Ricky Pearsall on the sideline on a pass play on third down when Ronnie Bell's out there? The whole world knows you're not throwing it to number 10. I'm not saying Ronnie Bell shouldn't get 5 snaps. He shouldn't be on the team, but whatever. Like, why? Why? It's not like Ricky Pearsall was tired.
And but even when he's out there, Johnny's not getting targeted. So, like, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if he's out there or not.
Then don't spend a first-round pick on him because he's been exactly what he's been in college.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just giving you – asked me to make it make sense.
I know.
And I'm trying to find a way to make it make sense when it doesn't make sense because our coach doesn't make sense.
Wayne's like my financial advisor, and I'm like, Wayne, why don't I have more money?
Because you keep spending money.
Get me more money. more money.
But not seriously, that was my movie. But seriously, though, like on a serious note, Faithful, it's just rough. It's rough. And you know what? You know what I'm doing? I'm not trying to make it make sense anymore. I'm just going to accept that this is the vision of Kyle Shanahan, and I might not agree with it, but only he knows what the fuck is really going on. And we can make fun of it. We can make lieu of it. And at some point, we just hope it works. Because right now, it's not working. And now you're going on the road again. And now you're playing another team coming off of a bye. And they're going to be fired up at home. It's about to be negative 70 degrees outside.
I want to be there freezing my ass.
You're going to have the Jack Nicholson not frost nostrils from the Shining. Yeah. So you're going to look like you're from The Shining, right? And just going to be a game. And you know what, John? I still expect the 49ers to win. Like, with all the adversity, possibly no Brock, no Nick Bosa, I really hope. I don't think they will, but I'm expecting them to show up and do a lot better than what they did in Green Bay. I really do, because they're a professional team.
Can't be worse. Now, if you are coming out, come say what's up, 40 Irish Rush Road Trip. We're going to be out at the Rec Room in Buffalo from 2 to 6 p.m. It's going to be an absolute blast. And then we got our tailgate. All you can drink, all you can eat, liquor, you name it, all included. We're going to be one block northwest of the stadium at 3880 Abbott. Go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com to get your tickets. And today, at 5:30 p.m., we have our Zoom hangout. Come with us. It's going to be an absolute blast. This is where we get to hear from you. 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. Today, y'all got to be with us. It's already been posted over on the 40 Hours Rush and our Patreon channel. So here's Tommy. I can't put your super chat up there. He gives names to our coordinators. I can't put that up there. I can't
Tommy,
put that up there.
AKA Javi.
He
called in yesterday and he said his name was Javi. And I said, hey. And so he's been Javi, but it was Tommy the whole time. And I knew
Tommy's I'll say this. He's one of the most gifted guitar players I've ever seen.
Ever heard.
Incredible.
For
and
sure.
He is consistently negative. He makes fun of all of my teams, but he's a good man. And
but
a good
at least
friend.
He's consistently negative. That's yeah, I wish go. The 49ers were consistent. You know what they're consistent in? Getting
what?
Penalties.
Oh.
And missed tackles.
12 men on the field.
Twice.
Back to back.
We got to have this conversation.
Going back to back.
To back. We got to have this conversation, though. Did you hear what Kyle's explanation was, though?
Yeah.
Now, how much of that are you going to go ahead and just say this?
A bullshit?
Because
no, the first play, I went back and looked at it. Like, he was right.
I'm talking about the second one. He didn't say anything wrong about the first one. The second one.
That's all on Nick Sorensen. That's all on. I mean,
why is he defending this dude from messing up? You had
didn't do it to Wilkes, did he?
No.
He did do it to
not
Wilkes.
Not once. Mm-hmm. Once the players turn
he
on
that
Wilkes
dude under the bus week 6. Get
he
out
was
of here,
pissed.
Wilkes.
No, he took him from the booth and made him come to the floor.
He sure did.
I don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm saying, Kyle, wait a minute, bro. So you're saying that
Peachy, I love you, Peachy.
The second time, they had ample amount of time. It went to a timeout. They had to figure out what happened the first time. So it was more than enough time to not have 12 men on the field again. Why the same damn 12 men on the field? What did you forget? Told somebody to run off, and then you're going to say, oh, we didn't get time to sub? Kyle.
We were in base and nickel at the same time. So we had D Winners and we had
and
nickel out
there. Yeah, but take D Winners' ass off the field. Like, why doesn't – I don't understand. So I don't get it. That's the coaching. That's coaching.
Yes.
Coordinating, coaching, same difference.
Yeah, Steve-O, and he said, you know, the second one was on us. Yeah, but it's just like, come on, man. At that point, the game mattered. Shanahan was still pissed. The game mattered. It was still a game. Good things could have happened. So let's continue this Kyle Shanahan talk, and let's step back from recent, okay? So this email was sent out to me by NY Niners. He's awesome, huge supporter. This is what he says, okay? He says, the Shanahan debate is always a great discussion. I've never understood. I can't get why so much of the vocal fan base despises him, but they do. Why? I mean, every single season, I get Fire Shanahan emails. Every single – you do too. Why is it everybody wants to fire Shanahan? Now, before and I'm going to give you a second because here's the thing. I want to go through his career resume. With the 49ers, screw everything else. Just what he's done for us.
Okay.
He's won 69 games, lost 57. Okay, that's a 548 win percentage. Solid. He's 8-4 in the playoffs.
Real solid.
Beyond, he has more playoff wins just with the Niners than the Houston Texans have had ever in their franchise history. He has more playoff wins than the Cardinals have had in their entire franchise history. He's tied with the Jaguars their entire franchise history playoff wins. Now, get this. This is what I didn't know. So I started clicking around. This is what I do. He is tied with his dad on playoff wins. That's a Hall of Famer. He has the same amount of playoff wins as Mike Shanahan already. 8. Mm-hmm.
He might remain with them 8 same wins if you don't get his shit together.
Now, he's one win behind Vince Lombardi, John Madden, Tony Dungy,
Sean Payton, and
Paul Brown. I sure did.
Yeah, whoa. Okay, shut up, Wayne. Go ahead, because I'm going to forget. So let me bookmark that. Keep going.
Okay. Now, George Seifert and Bill Walsh, all-time legends, have 10 playoff wins each.
Okay, so he's
That's
close.
It. He has more playoff wins than Sean McVay, George Halas, Mike Ditka, Dick Vermeil, Bruce Arians, Marty Schottenheimer, John Gruden, Gary Kubiak, Brian Billick, Jim Harbaugh, Bump Phillips, and Dennis Green. Go, Wayne.
Do you have how many of those coaches have Super Bowl wins?
Oh, most of them.
Oh, that's the difference.
Them.
Oh, man, how much weight does the Super Bowl hold, though?
Most of them.
Would you say that Sean McVay is better head coach than Kyle Shanahan?
I think I would hit.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, I would take Sean McVay if I was starting from scratch.
Yeah, we had that conversation,
but I would prefer Kyle Shanahan as a play caller.
Just talk about just now. I think both teams are there, the same record, right? Same record, but one has a Super Bowl win and one doesn't.
And if I was starting from scratch and I had to build my team for the future,
you're taking longevity, Sean McVay.
Yeah. I'm taking Sean McVay one. I'm taking Kyle Shanahan probably two.
It's just like. That, to me, that's got to be the issue. Because he's proven that he can win, in the playoffs. That's huge, right? But two of those playoff losses are Super Bowls, which weigh so much greater. And so, like, I'm not on the fire Kyle Shanahan train. I don't think there's anybody other than maybe a Bill Belichick that I would want over Kyle Shanahan at this point. I don't want Ben Johnson, Ben Graham, Ben nothing. I just need Kyle. I just want Kyle to just not change, but like alter up things because the game is changing. I don't know if Kyle is that type of a person. The game continues to evolve, so the coach has to evolve with the game because the way Mike Shanahan coached probably wouldn't work in the NFL right now. And the way Kyle Shanahan is coaching is probably starting to not work in the NFL right now, regardless of who's running the system. They're running the system with different pieces, and they run it a little bit differently. Think about it. Kyle will stick to the players he knows. Other guys will be like, you know what? You got the hot hand. We're going to ride with you this week. You got the hot hand. We're going to ride with you this week. It's 100%. Not about loyalty. It's about winning.
Shanahan loyalty program remains strong.
That's what separates him to me from a lot of these different coaches. And so, man, how crazy. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say we win in Buffalo because the game don't matter. Why? Just hear me out. We beat the Bills, right? Because the game doesn't mean anything, right? And watch us come home. We're going to struggle against the Bears. We're going to go on the road and lose to the Dolphins so that Kyle can lose to every one of his former coaches this year.
Ooh, ouch, that hurts.
Just think about it, though, because they're going to do what Kyle doesn't do.
That hurts.
They're going to change.
Kyle's statistically been, he's dominated.
Not this year. Just this year. This year, he's lost to every single one.
Yeah, I like Kevin O'Connell. I think he's a damn good coach.
I'm just saying it's crazy, bro, like how it's meant. And that game doesn't matter either. You get what I'm saying? It's an AFC game, so he'll lose to Mike McDaniel, and then he'll come out and we'll win. We'll finish strong in the NFC West. Watch. Just watch. Mm-hmm. Crazy setup.
I like it. Now, there's some fun comments. Now, back to the whole thing. And again, I understand the Super Bowl is everything. It's not the only thing. And I've never bought into the if you don't win a Super Bowl, nothing matters. I don't buy into that. If so, don't watch regular season games. If so, don't watch practices. If so, don't even watch playoff games. Just root for whoever wins the Super Bowl. That's who you should be. But Dave, Super Bowl counts as 10 more wins. Why McVay and Tomlin are better coaches overall. That's cool. I don't have a problem with that. But like, even if like, okay, Mike Tomlin is who I would prefer. If I had to have anybody coach my kids are not NFL players, nowhere close, not their fault, whatever. But if they were going to play the NFL, I'd want Tomlin to coach my kids. But if the 49ers fans had what Mike Tomlin has done the past 10 years, y'all would have fired that dude long ago.
Bro, he just gets into the playoffs, and they draft 15, 16 every single year.
Yeah, y'all would have fired that. Y'all would have ran him off because we're 5-6. We're Tomlin right now. We're right where Tomlin always is, and y'all are freaking not everybody. I understand it's not everybody. I understand, and championships count. I get that. I get that. I get that. Now, back to the question of why so many people kind of want to get rid of Kyle. Mark, a good friend. Appreciate you, Mark. He says, Kyle's smarmy defensive attitude under adverse situations is what I dislike most. No accountability. I don't buy the no accountability part. The smarmy, I get it. I love the smarmy. Like, whatever. Kyle does those things. Listen, here, I'll take you through a real quick reel. Here we go. Here's Kyle being awesome.
That makes no sense. I'm sorry.
I love it. And then my favorite ever.
Oh, I understand. I don't think you understand.
Oh, my gosh.
He's just an asshole. That's
he's
not
just an
smarmy.
Asshole. But, like, he knows that. He knows that. And you knew that when you hired him. Like, all of his friends know that.
But he's got, listen, he has a great mind. Like, I'm not going to stunt. And when his plays work, they work. I mean, just in this game, you saw the trickery. And you don't run those every single time. And I think when people talk about play calling being bad, it's not the play calling that's bad. It's the situational play calling that's bad, which is totally different. Mm-hmm. Totally different. And John just gave you the perfect example of a situational play call on 4th and 2 with the empty set. It'd have been different if it was 4th and 2 and you lined up under center and you threw the ball and you had a running back in the backfield. But once you emptied the set on 4th and 2, the defense is like, coverage, coverage, coverage. Just got to cover. The only thing that probably would have worked out of that was Brandon Allen hoping the linebackers were 7 yards away and he could just run right up the middle and get you 2 yards. Yeah. But that's not his brain. He doesn't think like that. Brock Purdy might have thought like that. Josh Dobbs probably would have thought like that just to ad-lib the play to get the first down to keep the chains moving. But when you're dealing with a programmable quarterback like Brandon Allen, he's going to run the play. Bad throw, bad situation, bad route, like John said. So that's smart on. But it's just those situational moments that Kyle continues to struggle in because he believes if this goes the way I say it's going to go, it will work.
Game above everything.
Game above everything.
Game above everything. Yeah. And so, like, and I don't want this to come across as, oh, I'm defending Kyle or whatever else.
Oh, it is.
I know it is. And people, but I can. Literally, last show, I went through like 10 things that pissed me off about Kyle Shanahan. A lot of them do. I could watch any game and tell you what is wrong. It's probably what I'm best at. I'm a cynic. Like, it's just what it is. However, what's the alternative? You always have to go back to what is the alternative. And so, like, whenever we're doing mock drafts, we're like, oh, draft this player. And it's like, that dude ain't going to be there in the 4th round. You know, we get him every single time. Like, oh, just draft Tom Brady in the 5th round. No, no, no. That's not how it works. You have to have a concrete, practical replacement. So the fire Kyle, whatever, has to be a fire Kyle, hire so-and-so. And I'm sorry, Bill Belichick's not going to be DC. We already tried to do that. You're not getting Steve Spagnuolo. We already tried to do that. You might be able to get Ben Johnson, but that's a huge maybe. Why would Ben Johnson come here? He's only had success with the best offensive line in football. We have the worst. We literally have the worst. Do you think Ben Johnson wants to coach Jake Brendel? Do you really think he wants to go?
We got Brendel like one more year, right?
No, we got him 2 more years with a void year on top of it.
Fuck. Sorry.
Now you get out of the contract, but it's going to cost you. But yeah, that was the dumbest contract in the world. That was the dumbest contract in the world. Yeah, right here, Swaggy. He's won the NFC. He's been in the NFC Championship 4 out of 5 years. I think that's what you're saying there.
That's huge, though. That's a huge accomplishment, and that's something definitely to hang your hat on. But, you know, I think Miss Debbie reminded me yesterday, said that Jed York says, I don't care about no NFC Championships. I want Super Bowls.
Yeah, but you can't get to the Super Bowl without an NFC Championship. And you walked off the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter in overtime with the lead 3 times.
They can't. They haven't won the game, bro.
And but it's more than that.
It is, but that's not how everybody's seeing it. We're trying to give them the other perspectives. We're trying to put it out there. We can't make them make them drink from the well, bro. Like, I'm with you. Like, I don't think we should move on from Kyle Shanahan. I'm 100% a 49er supporter, and I think Kyle's been the best head coach since we've last won.
Third best head coach in our franchise's history,
hands down. And not I love Jim Harbaugh, but unfortunately, it was the same situation. Like, we couldn't win. Like,
But Shanahan lost. Like, that team, that was going down no matter what. And maybe this team is that, and we just don't know it yet. Maybe the song has started, and the Titanic is, we've already hit the iceberg. I don't believe that, just like you don't believe that. And I'm with Rusty. He says, if the only words coming out are, quote, fire Shanahan, end quote, then it is brainless drivel. Tell me, who are we going to hire instead? McCarthy? You got freaking Jerry Jones talking about extended Mike McCarthy today. That happened.
That did happen. And you know, they want Ben Johnson. But you put a good perspective out there, man. I mean, you bring in Ben Johnson, then it's going to have to be a crazy overhaul on the offensive line. And if Ben Johnson comes in here, thank God, because Chris Forster's ass is fired. Like, at this point, You have to move on from some of these coaches. I get it. I don't want another coordinator coaching my team. If you're going to give me a coach, it needs to be a coach that has experience and winning Super Bowls. I think that's the only thing. You go up, you don't go backwards, in my opinion.
Yeah. And right here to Chrissy, like, I think that this, she said it better than I did. I'd rather have a season like last year, lose the Super Bowl, than this season. If for all you guys, it's Super Bowl or nothing, then you're telling me last year dominated the whole thing, playoff wins, all that stuff, Super Bowl appearance is the exact same as a 2-14 team under Chip Kelly. That's asinine to me. That is absolutely bonkers. Like, I don't think anybody believes. Don't watch regular season games. If it's Super Bowl or bust, you have, like, I just don't understand. I'm with you, Chrissy. Like, it doesn't mean last season was the best season ever, but, man, you went 12-5. You won your division. You won back-to-back playoff games, and then you lost the Super Bowl in overtime, in one of the only overtime games ever. You got Patrick Mahomes.
But let's just put this into perspective, too. Like, this year, regardless of the adversity, like, the team is different. They're making a lot of more mistakes than we've ever seen before in our lives. I don't think, and if you watch the film, the Patreons, the John breakdowns or whatever, you'll see a lot of mistakes happening, and that to me is more of the issue. So the question is, can the coaching fix the mistakes? And it's not just Kyle Shanahan, because there's a bunch of different positions on the offensive coaching side that works on special areas. Wide receiver coaches, tight end coaches, like, they all, running backs coaches, offensive line coaches, like, they've got to get their guys on one accord. And I just don't think they're on one accord this year. I think the coaching is off in general, and I think because of that, the offense can't flow. Plus, you're missing weapons, you're adding in weapons. They're not working. You're not using this guy. You're not using this. But it's a bunch of stuff. So that's what's making the team look so much worse. When you look at this team, it's literally the same team, especially offensively. The only different swing of the offense is the addition of Dominic Pooney and the subtraction of Christian McCaffrey for the first 10 weeks of football. But other than that, it shouldn't be a struggle. And no Brandon Ayuk right now. That's a huge difference, too.
Yeah. NY Niners, who came up with this question to email, he says, I'll take 20 Niner games over 17 any year. And then Mike with the rebuttal, I love this. Yes, those are good facts, but a lot of us are a pack of rabid idiots. And I think I'm in that group. And again, I hate that it comes across that I'm defending Kyle. Kyle's been terrible this year. He has been. He's been awful. In-game adjustments, awful. Play calling, awful. Rotations with personnel, awful. Pick of DC, awful. Staying with special teams coordinator, awful. Awful.
And that all falls on the coach. That's why I say, in the grand scheme of things, yes, Kyle is to blame. Grand scheme. But when they're out there on that football field, players still got to execute, John. And I'm seeing a lot of bad executing. Kyle can't make you tackle. Kyle can't make you not false start. He can't. So, yeah, grand scheme, Kyle's got to – and that's why I said, if we lose this season, oh, man, God, it would be a breath of fresh air, I promise, because now Kyle can really take a minute, reflect, right? We're always playing football. That's the issue. We're always playing football. And then our coaches leave, and we got to replenish the coaching. That's a big thing. People are not really talking about that. But when you lose your coordinator, you lose this, you lose that, you fire your coordinator, you do – like, it's a big change, especially when you don't have time to really do the searching and really do the homework and whatever. You got to replace it real quick because you got to get ready for the draft. If we do lose, we got plenty of ample amount of time. Find the right coaching as far as what Kyle's going to do offensively and defensively, and you could really start planning for even a better draft. If you thought we drafted good last year,
we got 11 picks.
Yeah, I'm only expecting us to do good again, because now it's time. Like, now it's time. You address your weapons. Now it's time to address the trenches, and I think this would be a great year for the trenches, because it's not too many superstars coming out of college this year, as far as the skill position.
Everybody got to start staying because they get that
they NIL get that money. NIL money.
Yeah, that's what's up. Peachy, yeah. Like the rebuttal here. She says, don't get mad then when we don't win a Super Bowl. That doesn't matter. I never said the Super Bowl doesn't matter. I hope that's not coming across. I get pissed at every single game. I get pissed at training camp. I get pissed at every rep. You watch me break down special teams tape. You'll hear some F-bombs. I get pissed about it. And I did as a coach. You got to care about everything. And so maybe I'm not – that's not coming across very well. I care about every damn preseason game, snap. I'm pissed at snap counts. I'm just – I'm an asshole. That's just what it is. I always have been. Wayne knows that.
I just – you know, I just – what I really wanted this year was the opportunity, get back to the Super Bowl, and possibly not play the Chiefs and just see what happens. Mm. If Kyle lost to a different team – then, yeah, we could start having these conversations. But it's something about the Chiefs, man. It's something about the Chiefs just being, I don't want to say extra prepared, but willing to go the extra mile. I don't know. The Chiefs find a way, and the 49ers haven't found ways. And I think that's what's frustrating everybody. Like, we should have won the Super Bowl in 20, what, the first time? We should have won that Super Bowl in 2019. We should have won the Super Bowl last year, right? And unfortunately, we just found ways to lose the game. And it all comes back down to Kyle Shanahan. I'm sorry. It does. Because you just told me he drafts the players. He scouts the players. He does all that. It's all Kyle Shanahan. And when you look at Jake Moody missing whatever he missed in the Super Bowl, that's on Kyle Shanahan. Even though Jake Moody has to execute. Kyle picked this kid. He went with the kid. I get it. I get why we're mad at Kyle. I just don't think we should fire Kyle. I don't think that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm with
but
you.
But nothing makes sense with the 49ers at this
point. There we go. You're back to that. You're that Heath Ledger Joker role right now.
Ah, I go again. Yeah, man. You don't know which one you're going to get. Is it Heath or is it Joker? Yeah.
Heath was the Joker. He's like,
why so serious?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, just chill out, man. Like a dog chasing a car. If I caught it, I wouldn't even know what to do. Like, right? Like, so, having said all this thing, this has been a fun conversation. I hope I didn't upset anybody. Like, I'm not directing any of my comments to any of you. If you felt like I was, I apologize. I'm just saying this is my perspective on the whole Kyle Shanahan thing. I've listed why I'm pissed off at him. But I don't think that it's time to move on yet. And if you disagree, that's okay. Disagreements are a great thing, never a bad thing. The conversations is where we both change and we both adapt. And I have learned, yeah, there's a legitimate reason why so many people are pissed off, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. Hopefully,
just
all these
a quick question off the topic of
yes, sir.
We could relate it to Kyle. How long did Andy Reid coach before he won a Super Bowl?
19 years.
Now, I know years. I know the faithful ain't going to be able to have that type of patience. Like,
well, the Eagles didn't. They fired him, and then he went and won. But he never won with Kansas City until 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So and that basically, was until he had the best quarterback in the NFL.
Andy Reid put through the fire, refined, went through all that turmoil, had a guy like Donovan McNabb, couldn't win with him, couldn't win with the guys that he had.
And until then, he had the best quarterback in the
NFL. Then he got the best quarterback. So my question is, is that what Kyle is really missing? Is Brock Purdy?
No. He's not.
I didn't say he was best. I'm not saying he's the best. You got to kind of factor in what makes Patrick Mahomes the best. I think it's his ability to ad-lib. I don't think it's just his ability. He has the ability. He has the strong arm. He can move with the ball. But it's his ability to, like, he just understands football. He understands the situations. He understands football. And I'm not comparing him or Brock Purdy, but if Kyle doesn't have that guy, it's going to be really tough to beat that guy. You might be able to beat a different guy. Yeah. But beating that guy, Kyle needs to hit up the AFC and be like, yo, knock this motherfucker out so I can get back here and I cannot, you know, have to face that guy. Because that's the guy that won the Super Bowl. You could say, oh, Kansas City defense shut us down. Bullshit. Patrick Mahomes won the game.
Patrick Mahomes won the game. Okay. And he walked off the field with the lead three times.
Three times. Won the game the first time, won Mahomes the game the second time. Yeah, no, that's how I saw it.
And so my thing is always, if you don't have a top five quarterback, you constantly try to find one. Is Brock Purdy a top five quarterback? I think he's on that cusp. On the fringe. I don't know. I think that he could be in this scheme with a good offensive line. That's why I wanted offensive linemen drafted last year. Kyle says, nope, it's not the offensive line that's going to make Purdy. It's wide receivers like Ricky Pearsall, except we're not going to use them. So I disagree with Kyle there. I hate the draft capital allocation to the wide receiver running back positions. Major disagreement there. I hate the way that we have used our draft capital. I don't know him, Purdy, but sadly, you're out of the time to figure it out. You got to do a contract now. You have to. And I think you should do the Brock Purdy contract, but...
Oh, for sure, but...
Get him some damn offensive linemen.
It's time to change the philosophy of Kyle Shanahan. I think the NFL has evolved, and I'll be on the limb saying this to myself. Defenses want to beat Kyle Shanahan. Teams want to beat Kyle Shanahan. So Kyle's got to reinvent his game. And so, like, as much as I love the outside zone run, it ain't working. It's not working. And, yeah, you can still be an outside zone team. You can still build your line in that way. But you got to get better skilled linemen out there, like, yeah. in my opinion. Like, this ain't it. It wasn't even it last year, but they were way better last year. I can't even figure out how they were way better last year when the best offensive lineman this year is a rookie. So help me figure that out.
Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk were playing all world levels, the best that they have ever played.
So they
in their
made they mastered. Okay.
Yes. Okay. And now neither one of those.
Gotcha. No Ayuk. Christian McCaffrey is trying to make a comeback. Gotcha. Yeah. Understood.
So. We've taken up too much of Wayne's time. He's the best of the best. Wayne, I appreciate you. And if I upset anybody by like what I said, like I don't care. You ain't gonna upset me. I got thick skin. Like I don't care about. Like I'm cool, man. I was raised a lot of childhood trauma. I could deflect. But like I'm not trying to upset any of you guys. That's not the goal. And so if you were upset, reach out, DM. We'll talk it out. You guys are the best. Love you guys. You are awesome. Wayne, take us out of here, my friend. Let's get right this week. Let's get this game correct.
Listen, I know it's a long shot because things just aren't looking good for the San Francisco 49ers. And week after week, you're starting to see a little bit of consistency with the Niners just not looking like a good team. But I tell you what, they're going to show up in Buffalo. Now, how they show up, we'll find out Sunday Night Football. But I need you to do whatever little bit of faith you got, find it in this team. They don't call us the faithful for nothing. And until then, like John Chapman says, stay strong, faithful.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.